I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness, right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station. Available on podcast, available on Alexa and every platform that you can access any app. How you doing? Stop trying to change who you are, honey. I mean, you have to be doing well. The sun is shining. It is lovely outside. And this is Girl Talk. I hope, like me, you to remember that you are blessed and highly favored, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem, and the answer to somebody's prayer. Her Health and Happiness, as you know, is a show dedicated to all aspects of female intimate health and the whole person. Now, I did do a lovely interview yesterday with a lady from Sport England looking at young people moving back into PE at school, but they just don't want to send me the interview, so what can I do? We do these pre-records and some people take 3 days to send it through. It's just crazy. But I've got the stats here, so we will discuss it. But this is proper girl talk, and we need to be having this girl talk. We're moving towards the end of the first month of the second quarter. And we're going to look at our true identity. What we think we know, what we don't know, and a reintroduction to ourselves. And once again, why all back pain is not created equal, and why it's so important for you to understand. The eggs always think they're smarter than the chicken. New, untouched, convinced that freshness means knowing, but forgetting someone carried them here. I think about that sometimes, how quick I am to dismiss the quiet warnings passed down in looks, in lullabies, in the way my mother stirred her tea. Slow. Like she was waiting for the answer to rise to the surface. She told me, listen to your body, baby. It speaks before it breaks. But I was too busy proving I could carry the weight to notice it was already crushing me. Because this world, it teaches black women to perform strength, not protect softness, to endure, not to pause, to fix, not to feel. And still, the chicken waits, watching, not with judgment, but with a tired kind of grace. She's seen it before. We forget how much wisdom lives in what's been survived. How many times the old ways held us when no one else would. I've ignored that, pushing past my pain because I didn't want to seem fragile. But maybe, maybe fragile isn't the enemy. Maybe ignoring myself is. What if the egg didn't rush to prove? What if she slowed down, sat at the feet of that tired, wise chicken and asked, "How did you make it?" And maybe, just maybe, by not forgetting who I was before the world told me to forget. Maybe that's what the chicken would say. Now, that's one of my spoken word pieces that I'll be sharing at Unfiltered on the 17th of May, where you can either attend in person or online. You can go to @pelvicsecrets on Instagram, on TikTok, and find me there. And you can find the link in the bio, or you can find them on jennyrussell.com. But it is very interesting that we really do, as people, it's like, it's funny, isn't it, really? Because, you know, it's that chicken or the egg scenario. But of course, the egg comes before the chicken. So the eggs always think. Sometimes the youngness in us makes us think we know. Or, you know, no one teaches us about parenthood. So it's an ongoing experience and we learn by default. But our parents were parents before we're parents. And so they can teach us so much. There's so much to learn and there is a big movement. And at the moment you might think, has Jenny changed her show to be just for black women? No, I haven't done that at all. But there is a, I've been told that that's an audience I should not overlook. And there is a big push. And what happens is when that push comes to talk about the black experience, there was always this pushback, as in, like, with Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. No one isn't saying they don't. But if you are honest with yourself and look at the black experience, it's totally, totally different. What happens when a black person is arrested or killed is the excuses are justified. When it's a person that's non-black, those excuses don't wash so easily. And we were looking at who am I and really trying to work out our essence. And it was interesting because as a mother, that's a role I play, but it's not the person I am. It's not my total identity. So when we look at our identity, when we look at where we are, it's like, who are you really when no one else is looking? Because that's when you know where you're at. And it's funny because you can ask people the same question. Who do they see you as? But identity isn't just about values, beliefs, and experiences. It also includes your essence. It includes your unique energy, your spirit, or your vibration, depends on how you want to look at it. And it's just literally that energy, that spirit, that vibration that you naturally carry and you're not trying. There's no trying. That's your essence. So if I asked you, you know, what is your essence? Could you answer that for yourself? This was so powerful doing this the other day. And then from your essence, you know, already the energy, you know, what brings you to life? What just happens without you trying? You can recognize your calling. That internal pull towards something bigger than yourself. What do you feel drawn towards? I'm not talking TV programs. What draws you? What, you know, what brings out your energy and your spirit and your vibration without trying? And what pulls you in that same direction? What are you drawn towards? And then how do you use your voice? Because this is all about who you are. How do you use your voice? I use my voice. I've just shared a spoken word. I use a lot of my voice in spoken word. And as I start to look through my spoken word, that's the most obscure one I've just read at the top of the show. the chicken and the egg. I've never done one like that. But if I look through from my spoken word from 2007, when I wrote An Ode to Your Body, to now, it's all been around health. It's been around female health. It's been around relationships. It's been around possibilities. It's all around relationships, connection, and health. And it's connecting us back to ourselves. So your voice, how you express yourself, how you resonate with others, how you leave an imprint, that's your voice. Not this tone here you hear now. Actually, I have a little joke for you, a segue. I was at my local gym, David Lloyd's, the other day, and I came out of the shower, and you know I have this deep, dulcet voice, and I love children because they just say it as it is. There was a young black girl outside, must be about 2 or 3, and I came out of the shower, I had a shower cap on, and she looked and she said, "Are you a boy or a girl?" Because I was talking to her, you know, boy or a girl, you know. I was like, "I'm a girl." She said, "Oh, because your voice is so deep." Anyway, out of the mouth from babes. I digress. So I just thought to myself, oh gosh, it can't just be my voice. I had to look in the mirror. Do I look like a man? Anyway, alignment. The harmony between your inner truth and your outer actions. So how aligned are you with the energy that you produce, the pull that comes? Does your outer actions align with your inner truth? And then you can look at your sacred wounds and your sacred gifts. And literally, those wounds and gifts are the hardships that you've experienced that refined your strength and talents born through them. So what hardships have you experienced that have actually refined your inner strength and allowed the talent within you to be born through it? That's a deep, deep question, but it's a very good question. So that's just a way in which you can sort of look at yourself to kind of start to begin to think about, who am I? It's not just a simple question to answer. That's the first layer. It's like peeling an onion. Then the next layer comes in and it's like, what is my true identity authentically? So now you're on to, you've answered those first questions about your, or recognized that your identity isn't just your values, your beliefs and your experiences, but it's your essence, your calling, your voice, your alignment and your sacred wounds and sacred gifts. Now you go a bit deeper and you ask yourself and you start reflecting on these. You start to say to yourself, who was I before the world told me what I should be or who I should be? Who were you before the school teacher? Because at school, as a young black girl, I can tell you, the teachers, and when I hear these stories for some black women, the teachers would say, oh, you can't do that. You know, you're either going to be a secretary or that or cleaner. We will always seem to be doing, you do the jobs at the bottom, we do the jobs at the top. That's what we were told at school. My sisters had the experience, my brothers, my friends. You can't do that. My communications teacher told my drama teacher, there's no way Jenny wrote that. That writing is too good for her. Yet I've read to you my spoken word. When it comes to me like this, I can just write. So who was I before the world told me who I should be? What values do I refuse to compromise even when no one is watching? So there's some values you just won't compromise. There's some things you just won't. There's some non-negotiables in your life, whether people are watching yes or no. And I could use a real mad one. Like, I don't smoke. I've never smoked. I'm not a smoker. And, you know, I'm just not compromising that value. That's just a sort of, you know, ad hoc one. But what's your innermost values? What is it that you won't compromise, even if no one's not watching? I don't eat pork. I'm not compromising that for love or money. So you got to think, you know, what do I feel, or where do I feel most alive, aligned and powerful without needing external validation? Where do you feel most alive, most aligned, and most powerful without needing external validation? Now, movement has always been my life, and it is me. So I don't need no external validation when I go into the gym, onto the tennis court, wherever. I feel alive when I've got a tennis racket in my hand. I feel alive when I'm really into going into the gym. I feel alive when I stand on the stage and I start to share what I have in through spoken word to emotively provoke a thought in you and let you know that you can reintroduce yourself to your health and actually live the most life full of vitality and energy. That's why I love the 60-day journeys. This is why women benefit from the 60-day journeys. As one of my testimonies says, she says, I'm an incredible coach who teaches you to level up and reintroduces you. She comes first, introduces you, as you heard last week, to different elements of health, like the spokes on a bicycle wheel, that you can straighten so that your wheel is balanced and your life is just kicking. And I love that, because that then impacts every other area of your life. It also impacts the circle of influence in and around you, from your family, your husband, your children, your siblings, and then it just filters out. And it's just like this ray of light that starts in the center and then just starts to get brighter and brighter and brighter as it goes out, as people start to see your radiance. And the word radiation, think about it. When it's associated with cancers and sickness, radiation is a therapy or a treatment that they're given to destroy that which is destroying you. But radiation affects everything. Radiation affects everything. So when you radiate, you have your own radiation, and you too affect everything. Let that land for a second. You radiate. What is your radiation? And how does it impact people for good? What gifts have you been entrusted with to serve others and uplift humanity? That's a big question. Some people, they have the gift of hospitality, so they're always there. Some people have the gift of prophecy. Some people have the gift of teaching. Encouragement is a gift. Exhortation is a massive gift. So recognize the gift you've been given. And you've been entrusted with that gift, and it's there to serve. Because the Bible says Jesus never came to be served. He came to serve. And service, the UK is a service country. That's what we have. We don't manufacture, we serve. Which means we have to buy from other people. But everywhere you go, you want to be served. So whether you're thinking, some people think of service as a demeaning title to have. But you're serving somebody, you're serving a company, whoever you work for, you are serving them. You are in service to that company and they reward you with a wage. So service is fantastic. And then, what legacy would feel true to the deepest part of you, not just your ambition? So what's the legacy you want to leave behind? Because I understand, obviously, we have our wills and we have our tangible parts of the legacy that we pass down. So you leave something for your children and your children's children. That's that part. But actually, what values and experiences, because that's also part of your legacy, what values and experiences have you passed down to your children and your children's children that they can take on and know this is a Russell trait or this is an Adams trait, or it's just something that empowers you and reminds you who you are, and then it's how it shows up and radiates out of you and impacts other people. I hope that makes sense. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
We are back and we are going to talk about the back. And we're going to talk about back pain and how not all back pain is created equal. And it's very important that we understand this principle. And it's important because many times, many people have back pain. And then they go to the doctor and say, my back is hurting me. It's such a generic statement. And the doctor may say to you, take this or, you know, take that. See how you get on. And if it's not great, come back to me. Here's the thing. There's some parts of the back you cannot just leave until the last moment, because it could actually be very detrimental to your quality of life and just your natural function from the lower body. So what I've done is I just thought we'd look at really understanding the back in this section here. And I think it's really important. And again, these are just some of the things that I help, because as females, we have to understand this from an emotional perspective, literally where we are harboring and holding our emotions, how it shows up, because the organs can't talk, for they talk through muscles and joints. So we need to understand that, you know, as I always say to clients, and this is based off a conversation I had with a lady the other day, and I said, not all back pain is created equal. And once we start to understand that each spinal section carries its unique structural, neurological, and emotional correlations, we're able to understand the back better. This is why I'm saying, I know that my mission is to reintroduce you to your body. So it's an opportunity to understand the physical, which is a reflexive, functional, and emotional associations that go across the back. And, you know, looking at the upper and mid back, because these are areas that are usually less discussed than the lower back. So when you look at what we call T1 to T12, so it's literally from the base of the neck just down to just what I said, just under the bra line, it's that is connected to the sympathetic nervous system. Now, the sympathetic nervous system is what we call your fight flight. That's the one so when you're in the sympathetic system, then your body's not focusing on restoration, digestion, procreation. It's not focusing on those things. And so that influences the internal organs of the heart, the lungs, the stomach, and the liver. And each of those reflects to muscles and the skin along the ribcage and the back. So it's really important. So the first part, T1 to 4, is like heart, lungs, and upper chest. And that's usually common pain pattern, is like across the shoulders and the back and the scapula, all across the neck, kind of feels really tight. Now that part there, the emotional or the stress association to that is grief, heartbreak, and repressed sadness. So that could be, you know, heartbreak, it could be anything. Then when you go to T57, it's just kind of just under the just from the breast line, just below the breast line, from or just sort of the lower part of the breast going down into the lungs. So just the top part of the rib cage, you'll have your stomach and your pancreas behind the rib cage there. So that's stomach, pancreas, duodenum. And that is usually a mid-back, and that mid-back pain or poor digestion. And that's usually worry, overthinking, and feeling unsupported. Then you've got T6 to 9, which is just a bit lower down. The liver's on the right side, and that's liver and gallbladder. And that's usually right-sided mid-back tightness. So you have this, that's where the liver is. You have this mid-back tightness on the right side. And that's around anger, resentment, and frustration. And then you come down a bit lower, where you can put your hands just at the base of your rib cage, and just around there, your kidneys and your intestines. And that's the lower mid-back, and that's flank pain, as they call it. And that's around fear and insecurity and survival stress. Now, the kidneys are your feminine yin energy, and they're linked to fear. So it makes sense, right? And then we have to now look at how this impacts our body. So we look at this issue, the base of the neck and just into the shoulder, so just where it starts. So you put your hand at the back of your neck and you can feel your distus at the bottom, and what we call C7, cervical flexors. It's just literally above that little notch you have at the base of the start of the back, yeah? The end of the neck, so to speak. And that's like C7-T1. That impacts your shoulder, your arm, and hand sensation. And that's usually associated with, so think, shoulder, arm, hand, what do? Carry. So it's about burden. It's the carrying the weight of the world. That's where you kind of feel like, oh, everything just feels really heavy. And then the upper back, between the shoulder blades, is often about feeling unsupported. And that can just be emotional suppression. So it could be unexpressed anger or sadness. It could be relational stress, whether it's family or career or boundaries. It can be over-responsibility and perfectionism. So it's really important to understand these things. Now, when you come to your mid-back, L2-3, these are the ones I talk about, and I've spoken on this show before. It's very important for you to understand that they reflect to the bladder and the bowel. And that's what they call the cauda equina, like the horsetail that's in that part of the spine. And that is the emotional theme around loss of control and vulnerability. Loss of control and vulnerability is also around loss. And it's very important for you to understand this, because that kind of back pain, and it's associated, when you start to dig in and find out, there is an association to something that's happened. 99.9999%, 100% of the time, there is an emotional attachment to it. Even if you don't realize there is an emotional attachment to it. But if you do not catch that one, and you start to have changes in your bladder and bowel habits, you start to find it hard to go to the toilet, and they don't catch that within 8 hours, it could leave you doubly incontinent for life. No feeling whatsoever. You can't control your gas, wind, nothing. You've got no control down there. So this is why it's really important to understand. And this is why it's also important to understand the emotional attachment and how it locks itself into the body, and then how it shows up. Now, you put your finger in your belly button and run it round towards your back. That is what we call the lumbar region, going into the sacral region. So that's the lower back there, and that's L5, S1. Now, those two discs alone, 75% of your spinal flexion and extension is in there. So if you find it really hard to bend forward and bend back, you've got to look at those discs. And they are connected, obviously, to stability, foundation, and security. Because literally, stability, that could be financial, health, relation, whatever, right? It's all around security, safety and security. Foundation means something stands strong. It's security. So it's being able to understand. So those two discs are crucial for load bearing and movement. So when you start to look at all these things, this is what we do and she comes first. It's so, so, so important for us to understand the relationship between those. And when we ignore those parts, when we don't look at that kind of meridians, and as a black woman, as a Christian, I know that for some churches, many churches, black churches, they dismiss that side of Eastern philosophy, which means they dismiss this part and run the risk of putting themselves into trouble, because there is always a connection, always. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It's very, very important. So literally, upper back pain is often more about emotional load and organ stress. So it's going to be about the stress that's going to be either on the heart, on the lungs or the liver. It's really important. Mid back pain is linked to digestion and emotional repression. So it's anger and worry. And low back pain reflects issues with support, survival, and movement, fight, flight. So both physically and psychologically. And this is really, really important for us to understand. Not all back pain is created equal. I also did an interview a good few years ago with a lady around pancreatic cancer. And one of the things she said was the pain she was getting was under the bra line. And again, that's mid-back, right? And what is mid-back? Mid-back is about emotional repression and anger. And my dear friend, God rest her soul, Annette, died on the 12th of February, 17th of February, sorry, January, 2012. Yeah, 2012. And she died from pancreatic cancer. And the pancreas is buried deep in that mid-back there. And I know that there was a lot of repressed emotion there. I know there was a lot of emotional repression. But sometimes you don't realize the extent of the emotional repression because we hold on to things. And so therefore, by not sharing, they say like a problem shared is a problem halved, but it needs to be shared with the right people. And then we need to be receptive and open to be able to say, okay, let me make some changes or release this stuff. It's like a great example is a friend of ours. It's a really dear friend of my friend's and I've known him for years. And I interviewed him, actually, when I used to do pirate radio. And he'd taken his wife away as a surprise. And they'd gone to this wedding in the Bahamas, and it was all inclusive. And I always say to people, just because it's all inclusive doesn't mean you have to have all of it when it comes to eating. Anyway, they'd flown there, they came back, and then he pretended they were going to a wedding or something near the airport, but actually he took her to California for New Year's. But he said he had just eaten and eaten and eaten. He just thought everything was for him. As a consequence, when they got there, he put on the one pair of good trousers he had for the church crossover, and the trousers split. He'd gained weight. Anyway, he's a person that likes to be for all people. He's a beautiful, beautiful soul. He did all this, and then he had acupuncture. Now, acupuncture, when they're putting those needles in key points, pressure points, they do also release stuff. But this lady found it very hard to get the needles into our friend. And as he shared with me on this radio show, she said, I'll be back in a moment. And she went and told his wife at the time, your husband needs to release this energy. He's about to either have a stroke or a heart attack. That is how much pressure was within him. Repressed pressure that was within him. That even to put the needles in, it was like, you know, trauma is a son of a female dog. It really is. But we have to learn to forgive. We have to learn to be able to let that go, because it's not about what it's doing to the other person. That fear, false evidence appearing real, that they will be let off. It's what it's doing to you whilst you hold on to what you refuse to release. That's the issue. And it does manifest itself into different parts of the organs, because the body, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Each part of the body responds accordingly, and emotionally we need to understand the emotional response, the physical, the emotional, and the psychological response. And because the organs cannot talk, they have to talk through muscles and joints. But usually the point of pain is never the origin. So it may be an organ that's screaming, but the pain, a heart attack, is numbness down the left arm. But it's not the arm that's the problem, it's the heart. So once we start to understand these different parts of the body and start to understand ourselves, as I said, we can straighten the wheels, because what happens is is it our self-love that's been knocked or just never existed? So how do we love ourselves if we've never been shown how to love ourselves? How do we value ourselves? Where's our self-worth? Without self-love, there can't be no self-worth. How do we have confidence? Where is our self-esteem if the self-worth isn't there because the self-love isn't there? And if those three wrap together, that's literally self-love, worth, esteem, it's love. If that's missing, then how can the self-care be anything but superficial? Internally, you're dying, so you mask the outside to make it look great. It's like some of these meats they're selling in some shops are really bad. They're injecting colour into them to make the meat look like it's healthy, but actually the meat is dead inside. I mean, it's already dead, but you know what I mean. And then how do we have good self-awareness? I mean, where does the awareness come from if the care is superficial? It's misguided. So that's first of all where you've got to start with self. You've got to be able to look in the mirror. And I mean, you know, wipe the mirror clean and look in the mirror. You may not like what you see to start with, but if you do the work on yourself, then you will love who you become. And you cannot expect to have emotional empowerment or hormonal harmony if you don't have self-love. It's like, where is that coming from? How can you be empowered if you don't have self-worth or self-esteem? How do you empower yourself? So these are really fantastic questions to ask yourself, and a really great way to dive in, because then you will know about the connections. That's the C, remember? And what social connections you have. Because if you're misguided and you don't have self-love, and you move, what you focus on expands, and you attract to yourself more trauma that just exacerbates the trauma that makes you think that you are a magnet for madness rather than a magnet for miracles. That becomes your default position. And so then it affects your breathing, oxygen, because you're always nervous or anxious, you know, or you're repressing that anger, so you're holding on. So you either hold the breath or you hyperventilate. And both of those acidify the body. So now you're creating a different environment internally without even realizing. And so that now limits your movements, the movements that matter. And movements that matter aren't just the physical, external, dancing, laughing, lifting, jumping. It's the internal movement of energy through the body. It's the movement of food and the flow, the intestinal movements, peristalsis, being able to shift the waist. It's movements that matter, their internal movements and their external tangible movements. You don't see what's happening. You just wear it. You are constipated, but you don't recognize that constipation is linked to holding on. What are you holding on to? Where is it showing up in your body? It's a journey. It's a flipping fantastic one, but nonetheless, it's a journey. So how do you exercise well if your movements that matter are suppressed? And if you've got all these different challenges, then how is your sleep quality going to be anything? And when you can't actually focus because your thoughts are all over the place, then first of all, you just think, I'll just grab the first thing next to me. If you believe the air fryer is the best thing since sliced bread and the microwave is okay and all the other bits and pieces, and you forget that it's conveniently making us more sick, you will find and you'll pick. And if you think all foods are created equal and don't recognize that food is literally nutrition wrapped into something, well, the most nutritious food is the food that's grown organically, not the ones that's processed and packaged and put into a box and made to look pretty, that can go into a microwave that will kill any nutrients that may not be there in the first place. It's that deep. And then, well, how is it affecting your intimate health? Well, we just said the foundation, the pelvis, is around stability, is around security. So it's around safety. So that's why intimate health is so important to understand. But then if the body is literally 85% water, then rehydration is key. After oxygen, 3 minutes without oxygen, the brain starts to die. Rehydration comes next. Then comes sleep. So it's that deep, but it's fantastic. And then you understand sunlight. Then you start to ask yourself, Sir Keir Starmer, why are you giving £800 million to neuroscientists to dim the sun when the sunlight is crucial to the conversion of our cholesterol and it's crucial to vitamin D, which is bone health, health in general. It's crucial to our well-being. We have got to start to take the blinkers off. And we have, as my mentor said, actually what we need to start to do is close our eyes to really see properly. Let's play the last trail.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
May I introduce you to Frequency Medicine from BioHealthScan? It's a brilliant new way to achieve optimal personal health safely, scientifically, painlessly. Find out more about our 21-day challenge. Google biohealth-scan.com/21-day-challenge or ukhealthradio.com for details of our amazing 20% discount offer. Discover what you can achieve with BioHealthScan and enjoy a 20% introductory discount into the bargain. BioHealthScan, paving the way to manage your health a better way.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, our time is fast spent, and I really do hope that this has been empowering and enlightening for you. Remember, Jenny, J-E-N, November, N-I, at Jenny Russell, RUSS.com. You can find me there. And JennyRussell.com should have all the links to book the 60-day challenge, which starts on Monday. This is your opportunity to dig into yourself. You have the Swiss ball class every Wednesday online, which helps you to understand tangible movements that matter, knowing that the ball, if you need to improve your flexibility, the ball is there with the most profound stretches. That is a combination of almost like a fascia stretch and a massage all rolled into one. Reaching the parts other peers cannot reach, as the advert used to say. If you want stability, that's about balance, the ball. If you want strength, that's about being able to use the body compoundly as it's designed. Use the ball. Power, explosive, is all there. And then you have Unfiltered on the 17th of May. That's an opportunity for us to come together and have a conversation. And this next conversation, I have three powerful guest speakers. Why feminine energy is key to mastering wealth, well-being, and relationships. It's going to be off the charts, in the heart even of Soho. And I recognize that people around the world cannot obviously get to Soho. So we have an amazing screen. So you are able to still book it, and then you'll be a part of the event via Zoom. How great is that? So you have that opportunity to be able to get in. Now, as I promised, I would share some of this information, although I'm not at liberty to do that really, but I will just share, because I do think it's important that we understand that PE, physical education, and I do believe it needs to change in schools, is opened up to girls. And if 87% of girls say they have a negative physical education experience, they're now wanting to be able to have more of a say. And a lot of them don't like the typical PE options, which I don't blame them. As I said, things have changed and things have progressed. And you've got to think as well, with the typical PE, it doesn't take into consideration the way in which the body responds during menstruation. And girls are younger, having menstrual periods at a much earlier age, their breast development at a much earlier age. So the structured, normal, standard team sports doesn't always suit them. We have to be able to change that. And there is a campaign that Sport England have been running for 10 years, This Girl Can campaign. There is a company called Digital U, so it's a digital hub called Studio U. They've teamed with Nike and designed a hub where the PE experience in the school can change. So this allows people to get into different sports. Now, of course, I have my reservations around teaching children sports when you're not actually there to teach them. So I'm very, and I did say to the lady that it would be great to have like a roadshow and do things, you know, in person. But I get that everything is an app these days, and people are looking at ways in which they can maximize. And of course, if it's a great initiative backed by a big brand like Nike, then schools will pay for it. It's fantastic. It's great. But who is actually making sure that the quality of the movement and the coordination is correct on the children? This is where we start to create poor responses to movement and exercise and increase the likelihood for injury. So I love the concept. I like it. I think also what's really important is there are children with different physical, mental and emotional abilities. And so exercise needs to be adapted for them. So therefore, that's definitely an in-person job. So how do you recruit across the board? You can't. So what you do is the next best thing you believe, which is to get an app and create it and then give people an opportunity to be able to at least access a sport and do something. So I'm for it, but I do believe that you still have to tackle the mental, emotional association around movement that I've explained, and it can be done. But there are millions of schools and there are millions of children. So you have to find something to do. Dance is a great way of getting children to move. Street dance, even my son, as I've told you, teaches it. It's everywhere. It is movements that matter. And it's important that when children are moving, there is joy in the movement. They feel energized by it. And I think when it comes to dance, you don't have to watch the person next to you. But it's a far more inclusive sport than netball or basketball or hockey. And it makes girls feel a lot better about who they are. So too yoga, so too other different practices. They are there to help you. But it'd be great to know if you could have someone there, the PE teachers, the curriculum, the degrees they're doing now, those teachers there need to know how to assess and need to know how to adjust so that they come along and introduce that hub. But they need to make sure they move really well because the kids are going to follow them. That's all I will say on the subject. Listen, my time has run out. There's not much time left other than to say, I hope this has been really useful for you. I hope you enjoy the sunshine outside and make the most of the mini heatwave in the UK. Hotter than some parts of the Mediterranean, it has to be said. Fantastic. I shall be sunbathing whilst driving when I pop out to go and see my wonderful Digini. You can find me at Pelvic Secrets on X, on Instagram, on TikTok. Jenny with an I, just no E at the end. Jennifer minus the F-E-R. Russell on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Pelvic Floor Secrets on Facebook. Until next week, in health and happiness. Stay blessed, stay safe, stay well.